Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante, in with Greg Pickle. And Greg, it is time for Ask Greg. Are you ready, sir?
There's no better way to spend a day than this segment, Jim. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Brian from McCandless. I'm not sure where McCandless is, but anyway, that's where Brian is from. He asks, Greg, while the conservative offensive approach has been effective in recent weeks in terms of wins, how much do you think such a boring offense with virtually no creativity or innovation hurts them on the recruiting trail, especially with the 2022 class, if this offensive approach carries into next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that I tweeted during the game last Saturday. Of course, Penn State ended up putting up as many points as it has all year following my observation, which was kind of a stick in the eye. But, Yeah, that's the question I have, too. Like, what is the selling point to recruits about this offense? Early playing time? Maybe, but I don't even know if that's reasonable. I mean, look. Assuming Rashid Walker's back for another year, you're really only going to be replacing one guy on the offensive line in Will Fries, and maybe not even that if C.J. Thorpe and Mike Miranda hold the guard jobs and they keep Caden Wallace at right tackle. You know, you're going to need a center too, so maybe they slide Miranda inside and one of those guard jobs that come opens, or maybe that's just Drew Scruggs' job to step right into. But, you know, we'll see what Jahan Dotson does, but all the starting receivers could be back. You're going to have the full running back room returning and the same thing at quarterback, presumably. So early playing time's a tough sell, I think. Now, if you turn the page to 2022 recruits, maybe that's an easier class to sell. But, you know, if recruits look at this offense, I just have a hard time thinking that they're out there saying, wow, that's a unit I want to play for. That's an attack that looks fun. I mean, there's times it looks fun, and there's times it just looks really hard. It's really hard to watch. I don't know any other way to put it. It looks unimaginative. It looks not creative. It just has all of the problems that you could think of. So, yeah, to me, Jim, I think that is probably Penn State's biggest concern. I know the recruiting in the next cycle has gone well so far, and they have some pretty highly rated guys on board, and maybe what that says is that the fear of losing guys because of how poor the offense looks some weeks is overblown. But unless they're telling these guys behind the scenes something they're not saying publicly, which that wouldn't be the first time that happened, but you know, unless they're telling these guys exactly why the offense is struggling, and if they're blaming it on Zoom meetings and things like that, or players and guys that Kirk Shiroka didn't recruit to Penn State, you know, unless they're doing that, Jim, behind closed doors, I don't know what the sales pitch is at this point.
Well, if you're talking about, offensive line recruits, I'm not sure offensive line recruits really care if you're throwing the ball all over the place. Perhaps the specialty people, running backs, you point to the success over the years. At wide receiver, maybe you point to the fact that here you have Parker Washington as a true freshman stepping right in and getting a chance to play. So we'll see how that turns out. Let's see. Next up, Greg, is Lou from Dallas, who says, hi, Greg. The defense was somewhat Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde comparing the second quarter to the rest of the game. What adjustments did the defense make in the second half that was able to shut the Michigan State offense down? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it was just the pass rush being more effective more than anything else. I mean, how many times did we see Penn State send pressure in the second half, Jim, and Peyton Thorne didn't know what to do? He had nobody open and nowhere to go. You know, it was the perfect kind of combination of good coverage downfield and sending enough guys to get pressure up front. And Penn State really, I think, made him uncomfortable. And after those first couple of drives, Jim, he didn't look like the confident quarterback that he was in the first half when he had all day to throw and all of that. You know, he looked more like a guy who was making his first college start. Now, again, I think the biggest issue Penn State has, Jim, and you can, I mean, I don't think you'll disagree with this, but it feels like it's the same thing every year, is that they make a quarterback who's making his first start look like the second coming of Joe Montana, and it takes too long to make adjustments. It's almost like they have their plan before the game. It doesn't always work, or it's not always right, and they cannot fix it until halftime. We've just seen that far too many times during the course of the Brent Pry, James Franklin era, and I think that, you know, it's just something that for as long as they're both here, people are just going to have to live with. Because for whatever reason, that just is the way it's going more often than not.
Greg, one thing surprised me about your answers there. You're far too young to go all the way back to Joe Montana to make a comparison to a great quarterback. All right. Next up is Kent from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Greg, really appreciate the insight. After watching this weekend's game with Penn State and the quarterbacks ran 24 times compared to running backs getting 14 carries combined, how do you think that affects recruiting running backs and wide receivers? And how do you think this is just an effort to keep Levis from transferring?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that before and I can understand where they're coming from, but Jim, I would make the argument that it's not, I don't know if it has anything to do with Will Levis transferring. I think it legitimately has to do with the fact that they think he is their best option to pick up short yardage on third down. And to your point earlier in the show, you know, they do bring him in at times in situations that don't make any sense. But, you know, for the most part, they're using him in short yardage. And I don't think they're going out there and saying, well, let's make sure we use him in short yardage just so he doesn't transfer. If he wants to transfer, Jim, because he thinks he can start somewhere else or he thinks he can be used better somewhere else, he's going to do it anyway, regardless of how much playing time he gets at Penn State. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think with the injuries at running back and the fact that they have two young guys playing a majority of the snaps there, that they feel better with Will Levis and they trust Will Levis to go out, take care of the ball, and get a few yards when they need to. So, you know, I don't know if it has any impact on recruiting either. I mean, I think these guys probably look at it and say, you know, they're still getting carries, and I know that, you know, they're getting out touched right now, but I think that's a product of Penn State having a lot of third and shorts as much as anything else. And again, I don't think they're sitting there in the box or on the sideline and saying, you know what, we better get Will out there for this third and longer. He might transfer. I just think they feel like he is their best chance right now, personnel-wise, to pick up, you know, to pick up those yards.
All right. Next up, we're going to combine questions here with Joe from Ebensburg and Brad from Perkasie. I'll start. Brad is, with that being said, first, I'm glad we got another win. With that being said, Greg, I'm looking to your expertise. Which Penn State seniors returned for a second senior year? Kind of following up on that, Joe from Ebensburg says, Greg, love the show. Being that players don't lose a year of eligibility in 2020, do you see any seniors returning next year that we would have originally soon be gone after this season? I'm really curious to see what decisions players like Brisker, Shelton, Fries make in regards to leaving for the NFL versus coming back for another year.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the thing, Jim. You know, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Doesn't it sound great to come back and have another year and maybe that'll help you get to the NFL or improve your draft stock? Here's the thing. I don't think we can all appreciate how long 5 and 6 years of college football really is. I mean, that's a long time to be playing college football and not making money and going to class and all that. And then what if your concern, Jim, is that you have to basically redo all the COVID stuff that you've been doing this entire year? You know, I think that is going to reduce the number of guys who come back. You know, I know there's been discussion that, say, Jaquan Brisker could be that guy, but I've also seen the other side of the coin where he might already have a good draft stock. And, you know, depending on how well he runs at his, you know, combine or whatever, senior day, pro day, that he may already have a spot locked up. So, you know, Will Fries already came back for 1 year. I can't see two. You know, Shane Simmons had his best game of his career against Michigan State. I just don't know if another season's going to be the magical thing that gets him over the hump and on a NFL roster, but who knows, as a draft pick, you know. So we'll see. Could there be a guy or two, Jim, to take advantage of the extra year of eligibility? Yes, absolutely. Will there be a bunch of them, as some people seem to be thinking could be the case? No, I don't think so.
Well, Craig, you know, looking at each guy has his own individual reasons for staying or going. Some of them, I'll use Michael Mennett as an example. He chose to come back this year. He's probably not going to change his draft status with another year. He is what he is, and I assume he's going. What you have to do, I believe, is look at players and say, would they improve their draft status by coming back for another year? The couple guys I'll mention, Tariq Castro Fields and Jaquan Brisker. And there's also a huge difference between the two of them. Safety is a position of demand right now for Penn State, and cornerback isn't. So how do you see those two playing out?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point, Jim. And yeah, I just have a hard time. I just really have a hard time. I'll set the over. How about this? A little ode to our gambling talk on the show, Jim. I'll set the over under on the guys who come back from this senior class for an extra year of eligibility at 2.5, and I'll take the under.
Well, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. It's not automatic that these guys would want to come back, but I think what you have to look for is that combination of, is it a position of need, and do they have a chance to improve their draft stock? And, you know,
I think you have to take into just the effect, the account that I just think you have to take into account just the simple fact that these guys might be at a position where there is a need, and they might think they can improve their draft stock, but they might just be ready to be done with college football. And that's something I think that may, if you're trying to weigh all these different factors equally, I think that one may weigh a little bit more than the rest.
Okay. By the way, I'll bet you a dollar I'll take the over on that. And I think there'll be a lot more, but I'll take the over. Real quick, let's get in one last question. This is Bill from Easton. With this year not counting against eligibility, has the NCAA said anything about the total number of scholarships allowed? If not, how are the programs supposed to manage their incoming recruits?
Yeah, so, James Franklin said the other day that it's his understanding that anyone who comes back doesn't count against the 85-man scholarship limit. So, I think we've gotten this question probably more than any other one, Jim, and I understand it, and I wish the Big Ten, the NCAA, would just come out with some kind of ruling so we can stop getting it. Not that we don't appreciate your questions, but we get it, I think, every single week. And because of what I just said, I really don't think this whole extra year of eligibility thing is going to be the game changer scholarship numbers wise that people think it's going to be. I think everything between the portal and early NFL draft entry and medical retirements and guys coming back for next year, I do think everything will just kind of take care of itself, Jim.
We'll see about that. All right. That is it for Ask Greg. Stick around. In quarter number 4, we have our buddy Jeff Brown coming in, and we're going to talk some Penn State basketball. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.